Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is the 23rd of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Joining Eric Pfeiffer on the news today, we have stories that include a wrap-up of the recent Indiana Farm Bureau delegate session focusing on property taxes and a short-lived Canadian rail strike. The Hat podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. He says warmer, and we have details on what kind of rain chances have made it into the forecast. And yesterday, strong sell-off in soybean futures. We have market analysis with Mike Silver on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Indiana Farm Bureau sets policy priorities, and the rail strike begins in Canada. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. At the recent Indiana Farm Bureau delegate session, water, rural broadband, and property taxes were again top policy priorities. Andy Eubank takes a closer look.
The property tax issue is on the mind of many Hoosiers, and for farmers, it can be summed up quite simply. As Andy Tower, INFB Executive Director of Public Policy, says, taxes keep going higher, but farm income is not.
Farmland property taxes continue to rise, 17% in 03, 26.5% or so here in 24, and really estimating another 20% increase in 25. And so that's all occurring as the farm gate economy continues to head the other direction. I think USDA put out a report that 25% reduction in net farm revenue for this current year really just adds to the strain there for our members.
He told Hat, INFB is looking for ways to modernize the farmland formula and create relief. But farmers know the proper balance must be struck so local communities aren't hurt in the process.
There's give and takes because there's the other side of that ledger, and that's local community services, because property taxes, those go to local government. They don't go to the state general fund. And so we've got to be cautious and find that right balance between being able to find some relief for our farmers and then not shift the burden elsewhere or be forced to reduce the services that our members see and have delivered to them in the rural communities.
Getting high-speed broadband to all rural pockets of Indiana remains a priority as the expansion of on-farm technology opportunities grows. As broadband expands, there was also support among the 233 delegates for a standard height when constructing overhead communication cables, which would allow better movement of farm equipment. I'm Andy Eubank. Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Canada's two major railways shut down Thursday in a contract dispute with their union, forcing a halt to cross-border shipments and posing a significant threat to U.S. farmers, but the shutdown was short-lived. Canada's biggest railways locked out 9,300 workers after the lines and Teamsters Canada failed to meet a Thursday contract deadline, putting in jeopardy billions in U.S. farm exports. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government initially refused to intervene, but the Associated Press is now reporting that they've ordered the parties into binding arbitration.
Corn, barley, oats, things like that, a lot of those products move on rail into Canada. So just for context, Canada was the fifth largest destination for cereal grains, receiving $1.1 billion in U.S. exports.
That's American Farm Bureau economist Danny Munch, who says the strike and the lockout at Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway would have crippled shipments of food, grains, beans, potash, coal, and timber from Canada and farm and energy imports from the U.S.
Canada is the fourth largest destination for soybean meal and rice, fifth largest destination for corn. When we talk about ethanol and barley, they're number one. So 44% of our ethanol exports go to Canada. 76% of our barley exports go to Canada.
Canada is also a critical source of fertilizer for U.S. farmers. We really dodged a bullet on this one. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Warmer air trying to come in here as we finish out the week. Temperatures up a little bit today from yesterday. We are going to be back to normal and above normal levels easily tomorrow and Sunday, and we'll likely see humidity values creep up as well. Very warm, very humid to start next week. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Not going to be feeling very nice at all. Good day to be in the old air. However, with the heat and humidity, I think we put together a chance for some instability. Pop-up showers and thunderstorms are likely, particularly in that Tuesday time frame. Again, maybe late Wednesday into early Thursday. The heat and humidity, the main driver of this action, so it's going to be spotty. With Tuesday's moisture, I think that's where we see the best coverage, probably 75-80% or so of the Hoosier State. I won't rule it out the other days, but I think coverage is back toward 30-40%. Frontal boundary coming through later next week, so this is going to be Thursday, you know, late afternoon, evening into early Friday. Not a lot of moisture with the front the way it looks right now. Big wind shift and a big change in air mass, but I think a lot of the moisture gets wrung out in some of these pop-up rounds earlier in the week. So maybe additional moisture, maybe not. Still for the week next week, if you count the Tuesday good event and the frontal boundary passage on Thursday and the pop-up activity in between, we're probably looking at quarter to three-quarter inch rainfall totals over a large part of Indiana, 75-80% of the state. Then we get into the latter part of the week and weekend, the holiday weekend. It is Labor Day. Look out. Temperatures are going to drop significantly. Cool air coming in out of Canada, coming right across the Great Lakes. I think Friday we see the temperatures fall off. Saturday, quite cool. Sunday, probably the same way. We might start to rebound Monday, Labor Day Monday, and on into the following week. But definitely one of the cooler starts to the Labor Day holiday weekend that we've seen in recent years, at least. Pretty comfortable for those end-of-summer cookouts, right? That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Corn and wheat lower, and soybeans led the way down in a complete sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. And all those numbers are coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I checked in for that with Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain right at the end of trade. Mike, the market's weak, led lower by soybeans on Thursday, even with good export sales. But we're also getting good reports from the crop tour. A big crop looks to be almost in hand, and that really weighed on the markets.
Yes, indeed it has, Andy. Even the good export sales numbers that we had this week did not offer support. And, you know, I just looked at the daily export sales. We had another round of daily sales announced by USDA today, and that makes every day this week so far. We've had a round of flash export sales, many of those to China, many of them soybeans. So we need that to happen, and we need that to happen with greater frequency and in larger quantities. And hopefully we'll be able to sustain that momentum. Weather is a little bit in play, not so much, but it would sure be nice to get maybe one more nice general rain here in August to put the finish on both the corn and soybean crops. And as you said, the intelligence from the Pro Farmer Tour so far this week, and they will release their final numbers tomorrow afternoon after the market closes at 2 o'clock Central Time, 3 o'clock Indiana Time. So it looks like, Andy, you know, the next major round of news that we'll look for obviously is the September 12th USDA report. USDA will report in that crop report and in that World Outlook Board report any adjustments to either our supply side or the demand side in terms of the exports. And there could be some adjustments there. Hopefully they'll be to the positive side, give a little bit of upward lift to the futures market. But in the meantime, the market's going to pay close attention to the fund positions. Obviously, funds are still short the market. They have lightened up their short position somewhat, but farmer selling and commercial selling has put a damper on the amount of upward velocity that's put to the futures price movement. So we need to see those funds keep covering shorts. We need to see our export pace pick up. And Andy, it does look like, you know, it's going to be kind of a bittersweet feeling this harvest. We should have really good yields, perhaps even record yields. But unfortunately, the market is continuing to react to that positive yield news with some depression in prices. It looks like here before the close today, we're going to close corn down maybe 4 to 5 cents and beans down probably 20 cents, something in that range. So we'll see and hope that we have some more new export sales flashes tomorrow morning, Friday, make that 5 consecutive days, and we can sustain that into next week. And then we'll look forward to the after close tomorrow of the release of the Pro Farmer data and their estimates of national U.S. corn and soybean yields.
Weather looks like it's going to become more supportive with maybe some more moisture in the forecast, warming up just a little bit too.
And that would be very much welcome. A little rain in there would certainly help too in some areas that really need it. So we've got our fingers crossed, Andy, and look forward to a good, productive, and safe harvest that's getting closer week by week.
Market analyst and broker Mike Silver, he's with Kokomo Grain, and Mike's number there is 800-666-0613. Now, settlements, September corn on Thursday down 4 cents, 371.5. Dece 393.5, down 4.75. March 5.5 lower, 411.5. September beans 941.25. That was a dip of 21.75. 20 cents lower on the Novi contract, 961.5. September wheat 511, a loss of 8.75. The meats did go higher. October live cattle, $1.27 higher, $175.90. And October lean hogs, $79.62, up $3.47. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.